I used to hate history, didn't you? It's all just a bunch of stuff that's already happened.
Previews of coming attractions.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Sunday Night in Cinema 3. Opening this week in theaters is a little film you may have heard of called Black Panther. I saw it just a few hours ago as I write this, and I loved it. I don't know that I would call it my favorite Marvel film, but it is definitely in the top five. The cast is great, the production design is amazing. It feels like Marvel has opened a whole new world within the one that it's already constructed, much like they did with Doctor Strange and with the Microverse in the Ant-Man films. My congratulations to everyone in the cast and crew of Black Panther. I highly recommend it to everyone who is hearing this. And incidentally, I don't ordinarily plan on commenting on new trailers here, but there was a trailer today before Black Panther that I felt I should talk about. It was for a new Venom film, which is something that I ordinarily would have no interest in whatsoever. I've never liked Venom in the comics. To me, it's just one of the many terrible 90s characters. But this Venom movie stars Tom Hardy and Michelle freaking Williams. So I guess I'm probably seeing the Venom movie later this year. Anyway, if you are an animation nerd like me, or if you have kids too young to watch Black Panther, the other new release this week is Early Man from Aardman Animation, the makers of Wallace and Gromit and many other hilarious claymation and CG films. There are also a lot of good-looking limited releases this week, including The Monkey King 3 with Hong Kong heartthrob Aaron Kwok, a new Billy Zane movie about Samson, Irreplaceable You with Christopher Walken and Steve Coogan, the French film Happy End with Mathieu Kassovitz and Isabelle Huppert, and Nostalgia with John Hamm and Ellen Burstyn. New on DVD this week are Wonder with Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson, which looks like the kind of emotionally manipulative film that I would avoid at all costs, Roman J. Israel Esquire starring Denzel Washington, which I probably would watch if it shows up on Netflix, but I see no need to own the DVD, a new Hellraiser film, which I think I will pass on altogether, and an English-language remake of the French body horror film Inside. I probably will watch that one on streaming eventually just to see if they go as far as the original did in terms of gore and disturbing scenes. But other than that, as you may recall from previous episodes, I'm generally not a fan of remaking a perfectly good film just because some English viewers are too lazy to read subtitles or too xenophobic to accept a film that isn't set in America. So to sum up, there are no DVDs I'm interested in buying this week.
Previously on Sunday Night in Cinema 3.
I am, as I mentioned earlier, kind of a nerd, and I enjoy having little projects to do, like the one you're listening to right now, and like the original Sunday Night in Cinema 3 back in 2008. Another project I had back then was to run my own web server using an old EMAC and virtual IP domain forwarding stuff. It chugged along, serving my various web pages and FTP for graphic design clients. And then, in the 10th week or so of 2008, the EMAC died. There was a power surge or something. I was generally good about backing up my files, but the best I could do to restore my WordPress database at the time meant that I was going to lose a few weeks of Sunday Night in Cinema 3 reviews. This week's movie, The Bucket List, was the first of those. I still have my original analog notes, but the blog posts are gone. And you can check the website if you don't believe me. Anyway, if you haven't seen The Bucket List, it is the story of two dying men, played by Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, who meet in their shared hospital room when Nicholson is hospitalized for chemotherapy. They get to talking about the things they always wanted to do, and decide to check themselves out and accomplish as many of them as they can. It helps, of course, that Nicholson's character is filthy rich. This movie is the kind of life-affirming stuff that Freeman is known for, and Nicholson is, of course, a comfortable fit when cast as a cranky old man with a vulnerable center. The supporting cast is strong, including Rob Morrow and Sean Hayes. It's probably not the kind of movie that someone under 40 would relate to very much, because you're not thinking about your mortality very much. And they wisely don't try to pretend otherwise in the script. So it's mature, but in a good way. It's almost European in its frankness and willingness to just let two characters slowly get to know each other. There are some cheesy elements and set pieces, especially the framing device that opens the film as a recollection, but even that gets subverted in the end, and it's a pleasant change from what you might expect. Since it is narrated by Morgan Freeman, it makes me think of The Shawshank Redemption, of course, or The Notebook. And like Shawshank or The Notebook, The Bucket List isn't the kind of movie that I'd want to watch more often than, say, once every decade or so. But I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it the first time in 2008, and I'm surprised again by how much I enjoyed it this week. If you think you might enjoy it for what it is, then by all means, check it out.
Intermission.
One of the things that I want to do with this podcast is describe the experiences that I've had watching a film on the big screen, or at least the exceptional times. Some of those are related to movies that are coming up for my DVD collection, so I'll wait for those weeks to come up to talk about them. But this week, I can report that I had a new positive experience at the movies on Valentine's Day, and not for the reason you think, pervs. My wife and I went out on a date to see one of several films that we wanted to see playing currently, Call Me By Your Name, starring Armie Hammer and Timothée Chalamet. My apologies if I'm mispronouncing that. It's Timothy, right? Just Timothée Chalamet, anyway. It's a classic coming-of-age film, which is one of my favorite kinds of film. The most obvious inspiration that sprang to mind was Bernardo Bertolucci's Stealing Beauty, in which young Liv Tyler flies to Italy to stay with family friends at their vineyard and hopefully lose her virginity to a boy she has a crush on. Stealing Beauty is both dreamy and gritty, like life itself, and Call Me By Your Name captures that same tone. Story-wise, of course, there are some key differences. Instead of a teenaged girl, it's a gay teenaged boy who seems confused by his sexuality. He might be bi, for one thing. And instead of the teenager coming to Italy to find love, the teenager already lives there in the summers, and the love interest is an older graduate student who's come to work with the teen's professor father. To call this film cultured is a huge understatement. Apart from the beauty of the Italian setting, Timothée Chalamet's family is highly educated. Their house is full of art and sculpture. They speak Italian, French, German, and English, depending on the situation. And they are Jewish, as is Armie Hammer's visiting academic. So there's a lot going on there. Chalamet is excellent as the high-achieving, piano-playing, romantic, and extremely horny teenager, and Hammer is equally excellent as the impulsive object of his desire. It's a lush and deeply touching film about how the right relationship at the right time, even if it doesn't last long, can redirect your life. I loved Call Me By Your Name. It's one of the best films I've seen in a long time, and the experience of watching it on the big screen was a memorable and special one, largely due to the amazing cinematography and score. If someone offered me free tickets right now to see this again or to see Black Panther again, I would see Call Me By Your Name again on the big screen. I know I'll be seeing Black Panther again anyway sometime on DVD or Netflix. Seeing it once on the big screen with an excited opening weekend crowd was great, but I don't really care if I see it on the big screen again. Call Me By Your Name is one of those films that makes me wish I had a private projection room, the better to bathe in its beauty.
And now, our feature presentation.
This week's DVD from my collection is not just the best movie that I saw in 2008, which sadly did not make it to my local theater at all, let alone Cinema 3. I saw it on pay-per-view in a hotel room in Montreal after helping a friend move there. To Montreal, that is, not the hotel room. The film is called In Bruges, and it's one of my favorite films ever. Partly because of its brilliant and profane script by first-time filmmaker and beloved Irish playwright Martin McDonagh, partly because of the great performances by Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, Ralph Fiennes, and Clemence Posey, all of whom were also in the Harry Potter films, and partly, if I'm honest, because it's set in Bruges, and as a person of Belgian descent, I love seeing films set there. I had the pleasure of going to Belgium myself a couple of years ago, and I loved it, though sadly, I didn't get to Bruges. I hope to get back soon. As for the film, in a weird way, it's like The Bucket List, in that it's about two men getting away from it all in the time leading up to their deaths. Sorry if that's a spoiler. But you know, it really doesn't matter with this movie. Just seeing how they get up to that point is the really entertaining part. It's brilliant. It's a pitch black comedy with a great cast and a great location. It's also a story of redemption insofar as it is possible when some things are inevitable. What I mean by that is that the plot of In Bruges is a case study in karma, a concept that's often misunderstood. Karma doesn't mean that there's a force of the universe waiting to deal out retribution to those who deserve it. Karma is simply the law of cause and effect. If you perform an action, that action will have consequences of some kind, and depending on your perspective, those consequences could be good or bad. The action that Colin Farrell takes on his first job as an assassin was an accident, but his responsibility nonetheless. His fate is uncertain in the end. He has tried to do the right thing, or what he thinks is the right thing. Is it enough for redemption? Is it even possible for him to be redeemed? We know that Farrell hopes so, and while your mileage may vary, I hope so too. I give In Bruges my very highest recommendation. If you haven't seen it yet, you must.
Roll the credits.
Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is produced, written, and recorded by Scott Marshall, that's me, with much appreciated help from Nicole Slip and the nice people at the Central Branch of the Halifax Public Library. Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is copyright 2018 by Scott Marshall, all rights reserved. Please send your feedback, questions, or concerns to Sunday Night in Cinema 3, that's the number 3, not the written out word 3, at gmail.com or through social media. Visit SundayNightInCinema3.com for our links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever other social media platforms I can stand to deal with. This podcast does not have any advertisements because I figure we all have enough advertising in our lives, but it does have some modest expenses. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can check out my Patreon at patreon.com/ScottMarshall. That's 2 T's, 2 L's. For as low as $1 a month, you will have exclusive benefits, including outtakes and bonus material from the podcast, a heads up on what's coming up from me, and access to other exclusive digital content that I haven't even thought of yet. The Patreon also has a community forum where you can talk to each other or ask me questions, and if you subscribe for $5 a month or more, you will receive regular packages of physical stuff from me in the mail, including comics, art prints, stickers, game prototypes, and whatever else I can think of to send. Whatever you do, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. See you next Sunday in Cinema 3.
Good night.